WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Vice President Vance has just weighed in on CBS Mornings on the government shutdown that began at midnight.
There's going to be some pain, and there's necessarily going to be some pain because Senate Democrats refuse to reopen the government. We hope that they'll change their minds.
Both sides are sharply divided over spending priorities. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
We need to stop these premiums from going up dramatically. We need to do it now. Not in October when people get the notices, not in November when they have to decide whether to drop health care or reduce the health care they get.
By one estimate, up to 750,000 workers could be furloughed every day of the shutdown with no pay. Brian Green heads the Houston Food Bank. He anticipates an onslaught of laid off employees.
We'll do the best with what we have, but if it starts to get to the point later in November when the benefits are also not coming in, it will be overwhelming.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a large police and fire EMS presence mid-morning near the Pittsville High School area today. This is only a drill for a presentation involving the high school students. The public is welcome to watch, but during the event, traffic will not be allowed through the park or on Forest Street. Wisconsin Rapids firefighters will be at Walmart in Wisconsin Rapids starting today for Fill the Boot. They're collecting money to benefit the Muscular Dystrophy Association. Firefighters across the country have been backing this fundraiser since 1952. Rapids Fire Department members will be at Walmart from 1 to 4 today and Friday and 9 to noon on Saturday. Also on Saturday, the Next Era Energy Company will be at Avocados Mexican Grill. They're offering residents an opportunity to learn about the Akron Solar Project they're planning in the town of Rome. Next Era Energy representatives will be at Avocados Mexican Grill in Rome from 4:30 to 6:30 on October 4th. NAMI of Portage and Wood Counties is holding their annual World Mental Health Day gathering next week. It'll be at McMillan Library on Wednesday, October 8th from 5 to 7:30 p.m. The evening is dedicated to connection, creativity, and community. They'll have free food, live entertainment, resource tables, and opportunities to connect with local organizations and community members. This year, NAMI is featuring their first ever open mic night. Local artists, musicians, poets, dancers, and storytellers are invited to share their talents and help shed a light on mental health through creative expression. If you're interested in performing, you can email namiportagewoodcounties@gmail.com to receive a sign-up sheet. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News. You can find more news and sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com.
The Packers reevaluate. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers having their bye week. Now, after losing to the Browns last week, how are they reacting to Sunday night's game with the Cowboys ending in a tie? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Right now, it feels like kind of like a kick in the gut. It definitely feels more like a loss than anything else. I think what's disappointing is when you have opportunities to win games, which we had an opportunity in both games to win the game. And when you don't win the game, it's disappointing.
College football, following losses to Alabama and Maryland, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Michigan on Saturday. Luke Fickle.
We know we have to get better. There's a process to getting better. We have to see some of those steps to getting better. But there's no way of doing it if you can't stay together. And you can't keep your mind going in a direction. I can always say positive, but going in a direction that gives us a chance to get better.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickle with sports on Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop back into the 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a little breezier, partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
Strauss.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the Big House to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, should the government bail out our farmers because of the tariff policies instituted by our government? We talked to Darren Von Rudin in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
One more hour from the Lake Wissota studio before we start a little road trip for the next few days. Looking forward to joining you as I do a little bit of traveling here. But from up here in Chippewa Falls, it's nice to have you along across the Civic Media Radio Network on this Wednesday morning, first day of October. First day for some big news up here in the 7th Congressional District. Tom Tiffany, the incumbent Republican congressman, has decided to run for governor. That has opened up this congressional district. It's an open race right now, and people are beginning to position themselves for a run on the Democratic and Republican sides, and we will be breaking a little news about the 7th Congressional District 2026 election coming up, starting less than a half hour from now, 8:35. You're going to want to come on back and hear what we have to say about big news up north. We've got Earl Ingram standing by as well. Tell us about the What's Going On podcast that he can get you at civicmedia.us. First, note that we'd love to have you sign up for our Up North News daily newsletter. Head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage. In today's edition, there's a link to my story about the new backdoor abortion ban that is in place. Planned Parenthood has stopped providing abortion services, at least temporarily, in Wisconsin, because it turns out that in Donald Trump's big bloated boondoggle, there's also a provision in there that halts all Medicaid funding to Planned Parenthood, even for their non-abortion health services. And that's going to take away a lot of funding for things like, basic physicals and blood tests and STD screening and early detection of cancer and all the many, many things that Planned Parenthood does. So it's being challenged in court. But until then, essentially, you have a backdoor abortion ban in place in the United States, at least here in Wisconsin, from Planned Parenthood. And details you can find over in our newsletter, again, upnorthnewswi.com. And in our Sunday morning newsletter, our question of the week is about the government shutdown, which started overnight at midnight. And how does this thing end? Do Democrats cave in and just accept all of these massive cuts that Republicans want? Or do they use their leverage and win the restoration of some of those cuts, either with the president caving in or with Republicans and Democrats coming up with something together and even overriding a Donald Trump veto? So where's this thing going? What's your best guess? That's our question of the week. And you get the first look at it by signing up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. At 8:09, let's welcome in Earl Ingram from the What's Going On podcast. You can get that over at civicmedia.us, and we'll talk more about what's on the show, but certainly some of the other matters that are happening, not the least of which are some of the cuts that come from Trump's big bloated boondoggle. Earl, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Pat. How are you?
I'm doing fine as well, but, you know, we explained in the last hour, again, we just talked about cuts to Planned Parenthood. We've talked about cuts to training special education teachers. We've talked about cuts to deaf-blind students. Again, all in the name of attacking DEI, because apparently helping special education kids and helping kids who are deaf and blind is somehow special treatment. And you've got experience with some of these things that are going to be cut as well.
Well, thanks again, Pat, for the opportunity. But my wife and I are treatment foster parents. We took in a disabled child 22 years ago who was born with half a brain, who requires 24-hour care. That young boy that we took in is now a 24-year-old man who still requires 24-hour care. He will his entire life. He doesn't have the capacity to live on his own. And so through Medicaid and some programs inside of that, it helps us in trying to offer this young man the best quality of life that he can possibly get. He could be institutionalized, which is one of the reasons why they created programs to give these special people an opportunity at the best possible lives they could have. And right now, under the big, beautiful bill, there are major cuts that are looming to many of these programs. And I just don't think people are really aware of the impacts of the big, beautiful bill and what is coming down the pike. And so if you are fortunate enough that you don't have to be involved with Medicaid and those kinds of things, then count yourself as being fortunate and lucky. But there are many people who that's the only lifeline that they have. And our nation ought to be ashamed of itself if we allow these kinds of things to happen to people who are already up against it because of through no fault of their own being born in the manner that they have been.
Well, and that's the thing here is we're not talking about preference based on somebody's condition. We're talking about dignity based on somebody's condition and making sure that, they have either the opportunity to live, the opportunity to be healthy, the opportunity to be educated. There's nobody that's giving them some kind of an extra advantage. These are the things that we think we would like to do if it was happening right in front of us, right on the street corner. But thankfully, these folks don't have to live on a street corner when we have programs like these that can take care of them. And so it defies any easy explanation. It's either a lack of caring and compassion for folks who have disabilities, and or it is such an immense sense of greed that you will literally, take money, take food off people's tables to pay for tax cuts for the very well off and hope that those benevolent billionaires will somehow take care of you. I don't know if I feel like it's one or the other. It feels like a little bit of both, Earl.
Well, when it's been characterized as a handout, and so when people hear a handout right away without knowing anything about it, they've been led to believe that they're just takers, and so they've put this group of people, disabled people, in the category of takers, and it's dreadful to think about where we're going with this. There's nowhere else to turn. So what do? We cast these people out, and those of us who have dedicated our lives to taking on a tremendous responsibility to try to give people, as you stated so well, dignity in their lives. So those of us who are doing this work, we're going to be left to kind of handle this on our own. I think it's just nonsensical.
That's putting it mildly. We're talking to Earl Ingram. You can learn more about the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast at civicmedia.us/shows. I want to say one more thing about this whole notion of handouts. And we may have touched on this previously, but I think it bears repeating, because I always use the example of Ronald Reagan's so-called welfare queens and talking about waste, fraud, and abuse. And we're hearing that again this week, all the waste, fraud, and abuse that's out there. Waste, fraud, and abuse are already illegal or against the rules. There are already ways to sniff it out, to deny benefits, to prosecute people. So if you really believed that something like that was going on, you'd go after those folks. And I admit, it only takes one person, one example of somebody abusing the system for other people to get cynical and think, oh, everybody must be living high off the hog that way. There's always going to be people that try to game the system. But this is just the worst case of throwing the baby out with the bathwater because you don't like how a couple of people benefit from this program.
Well, if you want to talk about waste, fraud, and abuse on the grandest level, look at our military budget. And there's no comparison with the dollars that are being abused and wasted on that level than there are with people who are in these other programs. The other thing I wanted to talk about quickly in one of the latest podcasts is the street takeovers that are taking place across this nation. And what they are, for people who aren't aware, is they – 2-3 o'clock in the morning, a group of young people think it makes sense to organize and pull into some of the busiest intersections of our city and basically just have a party at 3 o'clock in the morning with cars, powerful cars, doing donuts, fireworks, drinking, smoking weed, and doing all sorts of illegal things. 300-400 people gathered. They do this thing via the internet, and it's more than what cities can handle. And so we had a discussion about that on the latest podcast about what is it about the generation that thinks this makes sense. And so I had a discussion with my producer, who is from the generation of young people who are doing these kind of things, to try to get an understanding of what their mindset really is.
Well, I hope that he was able to shed some light on it, because look, we all go through that age range and we all do things that we look back on and think they were a combination of rebellious and stupid, but it takes it to a different level when you're endangering people by doing what you do on city streets and in intersections, especially with, law enforcement that is already running on tight budgets and everything. So, again, I don't pretend to know what the alternatives are on this, but I don't know that it's something you just hope everybody gets tired of it and moves on to something else. It's a bigger problem than that, it seems.
Well, when he kind of told me about influencers, and at the root of all of it is influencers. And so this is the insanity of it. People do this to get people to follow them. And they become famous people for being influencers, for whatever that means. But it certainly doesn't make any sense.
No, but it goes back to, from the earliest days of television, everybody wants to be on TV. Everybody wants to be on a screen, and they're willing to go along with pretty much anything. And I tell you, one of the words in the social media era I wish had never come along was challenge, because we always hear about the blank challenge. And next thing you know, somebody's either ingested too much of something and died, or they've engaged in some kind of an extreme selfie and they've died, or whatever influencers are doing to attract crowds now that can lead to, again, disruptions of lives. And much worse. So I'm looking forward to the discussion that you're having. It's part of the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. Get the details over at civicmedia.us. Click on shows and you'll learn more about it. Earl, I appreciate you bringing some insight to this very much, and to the budget cuts as well. And look forward to chatting with you next week. Thanks for the visit.
Always great to talk to you.
Thank you, Earl, very much. Again, the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast, you can find it at civicmedia.us/shows. A local news update is coming up next for some of you. Others will catch my conversation with Melissa Baldoff for our weekly climate check, and talking about the Trump administration making a big investment this week in green energy. No, and going back to coal. Yeah, for real. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/music. That's ethos.com/music.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this Tuesday, September 30th. Proudly brought to you by our friends over at Crockett Septic. I want to shout them out real big and want to thank them because they give us the opportunity to do some really fun things around here. I have your host, James. We're being joined right now by the Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen pageant contestants. This is something we have done for over a decade around here, a long time we've been able to have these young ladies come on the air with us, talk to us about the pageant. And in that time, I have learned so much about pageanting. I feel like I could do this. I wouldn't do very well. I'm not saying I would do well, but I feel like I could do it. And then I think about actually doing this competition, and it reminds me of how brave you all are doing this, all these future contestants out there, and encouraging other women to do this and everything. I appreciate what you guys are doing and putting up with my fun questions, hopefully silly fun questions, and getting to know you all a little bit better. I'll have you go down the line here, let you introduce yourself so the audience can put a name to the voice.
My name is Olivia Hoyer.
My name is Haley Plantico.
I'm Caitlin Mandreski.
All of you, great to have you back in again with us. We've talked before. Appreciate the time, as always. And really, again, appreciate you all putting yourselves into this competition and doing this. And want to start off, especially for people who haven't listened to last year or the other times when you've joined us, can you tell us a little bit about yourselves and start on the end here?
Yep. So my name is Olivia Hoyer, as I said, and I am the current Miss Wisconsin Rapids 2025. I have been doing a lot with my CSI, Tools for Tomorrow, helping promote classroom growth and help with collecting tools. And I've just been keeping really busy this year.
Have you been enjoying it?
Oh, I've been loving it. I'm not looking forward to the end.
I can see it. I can see it in your face, which is wonderful. Has this been what you thought it would be, or has it been more than you thought it would be?
Oh, it's been so much more, especially not really knowing what I was all getting into. It was going to be my first time really within this organization at this level. And it's just been a continuous growth for me, learning so much within it.
You've done a great job. I've heard great things, and well done. And again, congratulations. I don't think we got to congratulate you since you've been back. You've gotten the crown. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
Awesome. Continue down the line here.
I'm Haley. This is my second year running for Miss Wisconsin Rapids. My first year, I was super nervous. I still am. But I came back just because of the sisterhood. It's really not a beauty pageant. It's a scholarship organization.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well said, Haley. Well said. Okay.
I'm Caitlin, and this will be my third year for competing for Miss Wisconsin Rapids Teen. And I keep coming back because it is just so wonderful. I learn so much and grow as a person every year.
Piggybacking on that, if you guys could answer for us why you entered this pageant and kind of like some of what you've already mentioned there a little bit with maybe some of the other reasons of why you originally got into it. And
I have to give my grandma credit for it. She had been pushing me into wanting to do the organization for many years, and I just kept putting her down, saying, no, not my thing. And finally, one year I just gave in just to get her off my back for it, but I ended up falling in love with it, and now I don't think I'm ever going to leave. I'm going to be here forever.
As you get older, that's something that doesn't change, by the way. Your parents or grandparents, like, they, and so many times they're right, too. Don't tell them I said that, but yeah, they're right usually. But
So I started mainly because I had a friend, very dear friend. She was pushing me to do it, and I wasn't really my thing. I decided to just go for it one year because I had so many people supporting me. And I came back mainly because of the friends that I have made. Everyone is so sweet and is so willing to help you and support you in the competition.
I joined because of the scholarship opportunities. And then after talking to girls who have competed for it before, getting to hear all the sisterhood, and then actually joining it and finding out the sisterhood really is a real thing.
Yeah. And again, kind of piggybacking on those answers and all great stuff, you three. Really, really nice stuff. When it comes to the benefits of being a part of this competition, what are some of those that you would that you have found? And what are some that have been exciting? Like, I didn't expect this to be a part of this.
I think for me, it really is the sisterhood. Everybody says that this organization is surrounded by sisterhood and helping build each other up. But you ultimately know that it is a competition, so in the back of your mind, I think everybody always thinks there's going to be some of that competition. And as much as every girl is competing for the crown, we truly do lift every single one of us up. At state, I don't think there was a single girl who wanted to tear me down. Almost everybody was supporting everyone, and it was just a great thing to watch.
I think you gain such a good sense of community doing this, because it is super community-focused. You're out in the community, regardless if you win or not, and you're supporting the people around you.
I would say the personal growth. You walk into it not as confident, and when you walk out, you are 10 times more confident, and every year you go back, you just gain more and more confidence.
You know, all, again, great answers. One of the things, and you've brought up a number of times, the sisterhood and some of the fellowship there and everything, and it's... For the audience, I know they don't get to see the interviews, they don't have a visual component to this, but I've been doing this for almost 10 years now, and every single contestant that has come in here, everybody is friendly, everybody is, you know, helping each other out, rooting for each other. If somebody's walking in and they got something in their teeth, they're going to tell the other person, you know, that kind of thing, that kind of friendship. It's really sweet to see, and it's really, like, organic, it feels like. It's just one of those things that you guys, that happens to just happen, and that's really unique and beautiful, and we don't have enough of it out there, so it's great to see in this particular case. And bringing up the scholarship is not brought up nearly enough, and how important that is, and what a big impact that can make for a family and for an individual. It's a great part of this, and all great answers, y'all. So what will you be doing as far as the competition part of this goes? And I'll just kind of go down the line here a little bit with this, or what you did do even.
So I know it's going to be a lot different for me at this coming competition, being the title holder and not having to compete. So I'm looking forward to having fun and no stress throughout the whole thing. I know they're kind of working on, I'll be helping the girls warm up for the interviews. I will be helping crown the next girl. So I'm just looking forward to the new experience that I'm going to get.
This year, I'm doing a painting on stage I did last year, but taking from what I did last year, I've really grown a lot, and I'm very excited.
Very cool.
I'm going to be doing a contemporary point dance, so it's not going to be your classic traditional ballet. It's going to be more of like the creepy, flowy point.
Interesting. Very cool. All great stuff. Much better than what I would do, just standing up there looking scared. I feel like that's what I would do. If I don't have a character to play, I'm on stage. I don't know how that would go, but it's really good stuff, you all. That's really, really fun. So
When it comes to somebody, a young girl out there listening, and maybe she's been thinking about doing this and asking her parents or her guardians about being a part of this or something, what would you say to a younger person out there listening that is thinking about...
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Two homes for veterans facing homelessness are now closed. Savannah Tomei Olson has the latest on a proposal to reopen them.
The Veterans Housing and Recovery Program gave vets a place to stay and access to services to help them get back on their feet. Earlier this year, Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal included $1.9 million to keep the program afloat, but Republicans removed it from the budget, and it was not in the eventual deal that GOP lawmakers struck with the governor. There are three homes in this program. Two of them have closed, the ones in Chippewa Falls and Green Bay. That means the only one left is in Union Grove. State Senator Jamie Wall from Green Bay.
Closure of these facilities means that there are going to be 41 fewer beds for homeless veterans in northern Wisconsin as we approach this winter. This didn't have to happen, and it's a shame that it did.
State Senator Republican Andre Jacques authored a bill that would bring back the funding. There was a public hearing on it a couple weeks ago. Rock Larson is a Wood County veteran service officer.
In the recent past, I have veterans who could benefit from this program. And homeless veterans from central Wisconsin state that they have no desire to relocate to southeastern Wisconsin. These program sites offer veterans residential programs to build the skills necessary for them to reenter the local communities and be sustainable. Without the case management and roof over these heads that this program offers these veterans, they are doomed to poverty and chronic homelessness.
The Journal Sentinel reports 10 veterans were moved to the last remaining site in Union Grove. 11 had to be moved to programs not specifically meant for veterans or even to Minnesota and Michigan. There are about 350 homeless veterans in Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It can be hard for a filmmaker or artist to watch material they've created or were a part of. Sometimes it's because they watch it so much while making it, they just don't feel the need. But in the case of actor Paul Bettany, he can't watch A Knight's Tale anymore because of Heath Ledger, despite the film being a breakout role for Bettany, according to Yahoo News. The Da Vinci Code actor said recently at Comic-Con LA that he just misses his friend Ledger, who he called a playful, joyous spirit. The two bonded on the 2001 film in which Bettany plays Geoffrey Chaucer, and he says he has not seen it once since. Tubi is on fire. The streamer, which is mostly free, has dipped its toes into pro sports and is now doing a cannonball off the high dive. Tubi will be part of the Thanksgiving Day NFL extravaganza and air your Green Bay Packers against the Detroit Lions. It will be a simulcast with Fox Sports. Fox acquired Tubi in 2020. The streamer also has tons of great free movies if you don't mind a few ads. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
It's going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop back into the 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a little breezier, partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights. Speaking in public? The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary,
What's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media host Greg Bach joins me to discuss the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. Then Civic Media's Catherine Lake talks about a big movie screening in Madison, and actor Dan Davies drops by. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The decision by Congressman Tom Tiffany to run for governor means there will now be an open race for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, which takes up a good chunk of the northern third of Wisconsin. It was represented by Dave Obie for 40-some years, Sean Duffy after that, and Tom Tiffany currently. But with him running for governor, it opens it up with Republicans and Democrats talking amongst themselves about who should be running and who could serve as the next member of Congress from up north. One of the people who's been doing a lot of talking about that, a lot of traveling, connecting with people, is actually a former legislator from the Baraboo area, but who relocated to northern Wisconsin a number of years ago. And, I mean, if you want to know about the North Woods, you got to talk to a guy that really knows woods. And nobody knows the woods like Fred Clark. He is a senior forester. He has served as a senior forester with the Department of Natural Resources, as an ecologist with the Nature Conservancy. He's been a consulting forester. He has served on the Wisconsin Council on Forestry, the Wisconsin Council on Tourism, briefly on the State Natural Resources Board. He knows a thing or two about how to make sure that the North Woods is good for business, is good for tourism, and is good to our resources. And maybe it's time that the North Woods is good for representation in Congress as well. So Fred Clark joins us now to tell us more about what's happening in the 7th. Fred, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Pat. Really good to see you. It's a wonderful morning here in the fall in the North Woods.
It really is. And so, I mean, nobody understands the task ahead like you, and I'm sure that other people have expressed interest in this as well. But where did you ultimately come down on your own decision about what to do in the 7th District?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. You know, I spent a good part of this summer with some friends just traveling the 7th Congressional District. And as most of your listeners know, it's a huge district. This is about a third of Wisconsin, our entire North Woods, parts of 26 counties. And we just wanted to, after talking among ourselves and following all of the drama coming out of Washington, we just decided to get on the road and try to put a pulse on what people were thinking about and talking about. We went to Marshfield and to Wausau and Merrill and Tomahawk and Rhinelander and Hayward and Spooner and Webster and Hudson. Had a lot of conversations with a lot of people to figure out what concerns are sort of rising to the top for the communities around northern Wisconsin, and what people are looking for out of representation. And this is at a time when Congressman Tom Tiffany was basically missing in action. He was not holding public events. Some of these really momentous decisions, like the big billionaire's bill that came out of Washington that he voted for, he simply wasn't willing to stand up and account for himself in public. And we learned a lot from those trips, and it really helped me, after a lot of thought, make a decision that I think the time is right to stand up and make the case for new representation in Congress in northern Wisconsin.
So you're in.
I'm in. The candidacy starts today.
All right. It's you've done some of the prep work already. There's a website up, clark4wi.com. Again, clark4wi.com, where people are going to learn more about you and more about the issues. I gave a bit of an introduction that stressed your forestry roots, but you did serve a number of years in the legislature. And so tell us a bit more about, you know, your time there and the priorities that you brought to Madison that you'd now like to bring to Washington.
Sure. Thanks for asking. You know, for many years, I lived in Baraboo, a town in Sauk County, north of Madison. From there, I ran a forestry consulting and contracting business. In fact, one of my very first jobs, my first year in business, was marking timber up here for the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest. But in that work, I just became more and more involved in conservation as well as community leadership. And in 2008, I took a long shot and ran for the state assembly seat that includes the communities of Baraboo and Portage and Montello. Perfect farm and forest country. I'd never had a political background before, but again, it was an opportunity for me to learn more and provide service to an important community that really meant a lot to me. I won a Republican-held seat. I did that with a lot of crossover voters from Republicans and Democrats who knew that it was time for a change and that they could trust me to help represent their values and their interests, even if we didn't agree on every issue. And I learned a tremendous amount from that effort, the most important one being, if you're elected as a representative, it's your job to represent everybody. It doesn't matter how they voted, doesn't matter if they agree with you on everything, but there are lots of issues at home that we all have to work together on if we're going to be successful. And I took that to heart, and I'll take it to heart for Northern Wisconsin.
It certainly seems to be a message that would resonate right now in what is now the ninth hour of a shutdown of the federal government brought about by an unwillingness by the majority party to negotiate, even though they need Democratic votes to get anything done. So I'm sure with this shutdown, people would be asking, what would you do differently? What is it? What traits would you bring that might make it less likely that we see government shutdowns?
Yeah, the choice of Democrats right now is a very tough one, but I don't fault them for standing up. When you look at the brutal impact on middle class people across this country from a single policy of removing the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, that's going to affect healthcare for millions of people. This is really their only point of leverage right now, but fundamentally, we've got to relook at how we budget and run the federal government. There is simply no reason that we should be going through this shutdown drama every 4 years when the parties can't agree on the most basic responsibility, which is how to run our governments. So I think we need to relook at the principles and procedures for federal budgeting. And that's the most basic thing we should be expecting from our Congress. We expect that from our state legislature. And for the most part, we get it.
Do the basics of funding then extend to putting a priority on things like health care rather than billionaire tax breaks? I guess what I'm saying is, right now, the Democrats in Congress are saying, look, negotiate with us if you need our votes, because we think you've gone too far in these health care cuts. And if you want our votes, they've got to be, restored or pared back. And Republicans are even refusing to negotiate. I don't think I have to go very hard to find out whether you think Congress should be taking more of its energy on providing for people's health care than providing for tax cuts for the rich.
It's incredible. Health care wasn't perfect a year ago. We still had a long way to go to provide the opportunity for basic health care for everyone, regardless of income. But the big, beautiful bill, as the president liked to call it, has a massive across-the-board impact on both the Medicaid cuts that are going to affect healthcare for the people who need it the most, as well as the Affordable Care Act subsidy removals, which is going to increase healthcare premiums by up to 75% or more for many people that are on the exchanges and the Affordable Care Act. That's the most massive transfer of wealth to billionaires that's ever occurred in the history of our federal government and our federal budgets. No, it's not acceptable. And no, no one should be voting to support a budget that fails Americans so badly and broadly.
We're talking to Fred Clark, former state assembly rep, who is now the Democratic candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District, all across the northern third of Wisconsin here. And let's get to the district itself and the things that proper representation can do for it. You've got an entire platform based on rebuilding the rural economy around, you know, our lakes and our forests and our towns. And we know that Tom Tiffany, as a congressman and prior to that in the state legislature, had the primary goal of getting mines operating in Wisconsin and expanding development that way. Okay, that's one mindset, is mining and development. Where's yours in terms of making sure that the rural economy across northern Wisconsin can be vibrant during your time in office?
Yeah, thanks, Pat. You know, so let's just look at what we have here in the north. The forests, the lakes, the rivers, the farms that make up this kind of piece of our world. You know, this is iconic Wisconsin. When the Department of Tourism wants to sell Wisconsin to out-of-state visitors, the North Woods is one of the major places that they go. If we want to maintain that, which also means maintaining the quality of life and the clean water and the clean air and the outdoor spaces that make this place what it is, we have to invest in that. From an economic development standpoint, we can chase big mines, you know, big holes in the ground. We can chase massive international businesses that we think are going to plop down, you know, big data centers and create jobs. But I think time after time and a lot of effort and experience has shown that you get a better bang for your buck by investing in local communities, local businesses, the sort of small and medium-sized businesses and the small farms and the forestry enterprises that are the bulk of employment and economic activity in northern Wisconsin. That's where we need to be making our investments. And as a policymaker, that's where I would absolutely reinvest and increase our investment to make sure that the businesses that are already here are able to thrive.
What about in terms of the trade war that Donald Trump has imposed on this country and on this economy, ostensibly to rebuild or, you know, help out American manufacturing? To what degree do you feel like that is the right track or wrong track?
Oh, if you talk to farmers today throughout the Midwest, but including in Wisconsin, the trade war and this sort of ever-changing tariff war that, especially with China right now, is going to be a punch in the gut for farm producers. You know, if you're growing soybeans right now, you may have had a bumper crop this year and nowhere to go with it because China stopped buying American soybeans this year for the first time in a long time. And there simply are not markets for what we're producing today as we get near harvest time. And, you know, farmers have paid their own dollars in these checkoff funds for decades that have gone into marketing programs to help establish these markets. They're being wiped away by a tweet from our president who decides with almost no evidence that we're going to just start these tariff wars. It's hugely disruptive. We're all going to be paying for it.
The problem is that we've had a Congress that has abandoned its duties as a co-equal branch of government to provide some oversight, some guidance and things like that. And so I want to talk to you after the break about, you know, the role that you think Congress should have if Democrats were to take control in the midterms or the second half of President Trump's term. What are the things that could be done if not working with the president, then at least putting forth, you know, a better slate of ideas than what we've seen and the damage that has been done to the economy right now? We're talking to Fred Clark, former state assembly rep, who is also now a candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District here up north. We'll have more with Fred Clark and some final news and notes from Lake Wissota coming up in just a bit. Again, remember, you can follow my work over at upnorthnewswi.com. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the WOW counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Remember, you can follow Up North News on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Blue Sky, and the Dumpster Fire, formerly known as Twitter, where we've put the note that Fred Clark is a candidate for Congress now. The former state assembly rep is running in the 7th Congressional District up north, and we've been going over some of the issues that led Fred to decide to make this run for Congress, which will be an open seat now, with Tom Tiffany running for governor. And we left off, Fred, talking about the Constitution, talking about the rule of law, talking about a Congress that, you know, for all of our lifetimes, even when it was of the same party as the president, still curbed any presidential excesses and provided some guardrails. And now we're seeing just a complete abdication of that oversight. How do you envision the role of Congress? First, if you were to win the majority next year in the second half of a Donald Trump term, but frankly, even if there were a Democratic president, talk more about your philosophy of what a member of Congress should actually be doing.
Yeah, well, all of us ought to take some time to read the Constitution. I reread it again this summer, and it doesn't take long to do, but the founders of this country, the framers of the Constitution, envisioned this sort of three-part government with the judiciary and the Congress and the executive branch being co-equal branches of government. And Congress actually should have most of the power in that relationship around how we run the federal government. And this year, our Congress has failed in most of that responsibility. You know, one is to budget funds for programs that are passed into law, along with the funding to support them, and the executive branch has a responsibility to fulfill those programs. This administration has failed to do that. And in fact, they've killed off entire programs that were congressionally authorized. That's wrong. Congress should stand up to oppose that. This president's use of tariff power, which is only supposed to be an emergency authority for the executive branch, in creating this wild tariff war that changes daily depending on what the president may have had for breakfast in the morning. It's insane. It's making it impossible for businesses to invest with any stability of where their investment is going to return. And Congress has not stood up to stop that. I think what we have right now are, especially the Republicans in Congress, are basically running scared. They're afraid to stand up. They won't even oppose this administration on some of the most basic things because they're afraid of being tweeted at or attacked by this president. It's almost like you have to take a loyalty test to be in the Republican Party today. And that there's nothing more un-American than that.
Oh, it's not almost. I mean, we're just flat out right there at this point. Now, there is also the notion of border security and immigration, which are two things that are related, but you know they're not joined at the hip. You need to work differently on one than on another. And for example, in Wisconsin, we have such a reliance on migrant labor, especially on our farms, but also manufacturing and a host of other areas. And so when you've got a president with just a flat out anti-immigrant agenda, how do you address that while at the same time, you know, acknowledging that there is always room to improve security at our borders?
Yeah, it's such a complex issue, and it's so unfortunate that it's been beat into a political hot potato. And we absolutely need security at our border. And we need to be making smarter investments about that because a wall is not an effective form of really stopping illegal immigration. We can do that. And we need an aggressive, active role for federal law enforcement to go after lawbreakers, especially criminals. There's no question that needs to be a priority. But what's happening right now is that this administration and an entire segment of the Make America Great movement are demonizing immigrants across the board. And that is really harming hardworking, honest people who have come to this country to do important jobs that we need done because businesses need to hire them. They're supporting our economy, but importantly, they're also supporting families back home. And to see good, honest, hardworking people who want to be here legally hauled off of the streets and taken away without due process, or in many cases, deported to countries that aren't even their home country. That's morally wrong, and it's not making us safer.
We're talking to Fred Clark here, and just looking at some of the comments that have come in from PJ. The U.S. border is 1,500 miles away from Wisconsin. Let's worry about what's happening here in Wisconsin first. Adam says, I hope to see Fred Clark at the Three Lakes 4th of July parade next year. Tony says, please represent me. Joe on the text line in Superior says, Argentina is getting a $20 billion bailout from the Trump administration and taking our soybean market from American farmers. So literally taking our farmers' lunch money. And so there's more than a little bit of work that's going to be done, Fred, if you're able to capture this seat next year. Again, depending on who all gets in, there may be a primary next August to the general election in November of next year with an open field for Democrats and Republicans alike. But you've made the decision to get in. You've outlined where your positions are on some of the issues. And I don't doubt we'll be having a lot of conversations between now and Election Day, Fred. Thank you very much for joining us to make your announcement here on our program.
You bet, Pat. Thanks for having me. Thanks for being part of the kickoff today. And I'll look forward to seeing you again.
All right, sounds good. And you can learn more about Fred's campaign at clarkforwi.com. That again is Clark, F-O-R-W-I.com. And of course, he's got the Facebook page and everything else. And we'll continue to monitor this new race in the 7th Congressional District here up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow, hoping you enjoy the rest of your Wednesday as we get started with the month of October already. Hard to believe. Anyway, I'll be on the road tomorrow. I'll be checking in from new locations as I make the annual tour of daughters coming up. So I'll see you tomorrow morning from up north or somewhere, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The first government shutdown in almost 7 years began just after midnight. Vice President J.D. Vance acknowledges on CBS Mornings.
There are critical essential services that the people rely on that are going to suffer because of this.
He blames Democrats who failed to go along with a GOP funding bill. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers are expected to be furloughed. President Trump is also threatening mass firings. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries tells CNN.
He will be held back by the courts. If he takes this aggressive action, which violates the law.
If you're worried about government assistance, business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Totally intact. You'll receive benefits, SNAP programs, food stamps. Those things are actually operating as normal. The one thing I'll say is that if you have an application with one of these programs, that may be a little bit delayed.
CBS News Special Report.